kids.
Kids? What happened? Did you lose your goats?
No, kids and youth for VBS. For Giddy Up Junction. Vacation Bible School.
Ooh, for Giddy Up Junction for VBS. Vacation Bible School.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, why you want goats at Vacation Bible School? They just eat all the activities.
Are you excited about VBS?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's gonna be better than a tomato soup bath after you get sprayed by a skunk.
You got sprayed by a skunk?
Yeah, I got sprayed by a skunk. I thought it was a cat. I went over and said, "Hey, kitty, kitty." And it said, "Psst." And well, there you know. Mama said I had to take me a tomato soup bath. Cause I smell like woo-wee.
Okay, I get it. VBS?
Yes, Vacation Bible School is starting soon!
It's Giddy Up Junction!
Oops, I stole your line.
That's okay.
Should I keep going?
No, I've got it from here.
Hello?
Calling all kids!
But not goats!
But not goats.
Oh, and youth and...
And youth. Yes, you. Vacation Bible School starts Wednesday, July 31st at 6:30 p.m. It's going to run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that week from 6:30 till 8:30. Be there early this Wednesday at about 6 p.m. to get registered. We're going to start up at 6:30 this Wednesday at Sharon Baptist Church in Concord, North Carolina. All ages are welcome. You can find out more information on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Am I forgetting anything?
Did you mention the hayride on Saturday? And the cowboy hot dog? And the activities, and the Bible stories, and learning more about God. Yeehaw! VBS is starting soon.
It's Giddy Up Junction. Oh, oh, it's Giddy Up Junction.
Vacation Bible School at Sharon Baptist Church this Wednesday.
Welcome to Sharon Baptist Church. Today's sermon is a very important one that's going to answer a question, a very important question. Who is the Lord? This is Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more information or listen to more sermons online at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
I want to give you just a little bit of explanation before I preach about the word redemption, about being redeemed. You know, literally from the scriptures, the word redeemed means to buy back with a price. You see, we were all lost in sin from Adam to you and I. And for God to redeem us, he had to buy us back to himself with a price. And she just sang about the price. He went to the cross, gave his life, shed his blood. His blood was a payment, the price paid to buy us back into a relationship with God the Father. Isn't that wonderful? That helps me to better understand. When I hear somebody sing about I'm redeemed, it makes me remember that he bought me back with his precious blood. And indeed, he did it all for us. Who is the Lord? I want you to answer that question while I'm preaching. Who is the Lord? Turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus. Look with me in chapter number 5 to begin with. Exodus chapter 5. And let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. And then while you're holding your place there, turn over to Exodus chapter 7. And we're going to look at verses number 4 through verse number 13. Exodus 5, 1, 2, and 3. Exodus 7, 4 through 13. And look at the question and answer, or at least attempt to answer the question, who is the Lord? Exodus 5, verse number 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Then over in chapter 7, beginning at verse number 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. You know, old Pharaoh was really honest when he said, Who's the Lord? He was being honest when he said, I don't know this Lord, this Jehovah God that you and your brother Aaron talk about. Who is this God? He thought of Jehovah, the Lord God, as just another God that some people somewhere worship, because you see, the Egyptians had many gods that they worshiped, and to Pharaoh, Jehovah God was just another god. Didn't make any difference to him who Jehovah was. He just didn't know who he was and didn't really care and didn't want to know. Well, he was also correct when he said, I don't know this Lord that you worship. I don't know this Jehovah God, and neither will I obey him. I will not let my slaves go. Well, even at the command of Jehovah, you won't let my people go? And he said, I don't know who Jehovah is. I don't care about Jehovah. I don't know him. Don't know anything about him. Just another God to me. No, I will not let this slave people go. What right does this God Jehovah have to command me, the king of Egypt, which was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in that day, and Pharaoh was number one in control over Egypt? Who is this God Jehovah who commands me to obey him, to make this kind of demand or this kind of command on me? You see, many modern day people do just about the same thing that Pharaoh did right here. To many people, our precious Lord Jesus, our God, is just another God that some people worship. I had a man once tell me in another state, went to visit him with one of my deacons, and he just about shot us, pulled a gun on us, and he said, I don't believe in your God. I don't want anything to do with your God, nor your church, nor you. Get off my property and don't ever come back. But many people, they're not that harsh outwardly, but they would say the same thing with the life they live. There are many gods in our land today, and there are many people doing the same thing that the Egyptians did in those days. They're worshiping a multiplicity of gods. You could just name numerous gods. A god is a thing or a person that you hold most dear to your heart, and that you try your best with all that's in you to please that God. So they are saying the same thing today that Pharaoh said with the life they live. I don't know this God. I don't know this Jesus. I don't want to obey him, and he has no right to command my life. Oh, but he does. Pharaoh didn't understand that. Pharaoh was in a position. God had something to do with Israel. And Pharaoh was not going to be able to stand in the way. And Pharaoh was about to find out who this God, Jehovah, is, because God was ready and God was willing to show him who God is. Now listen, God alone is enough. Without a Moses or an Aaron or a you or a me or anybody else, God alone's enough. But he chose, you see, to speak to Pharaoh through Moses and Aaron. Well, who is this God who commands me to let these Hebrew people go? So the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart right in God's face. How many people have you met, have you talked to just recently? If you talk to many people, you're going to find one or more who just are hard-hearted, hard-headed, stiff-necked, self-willed, whatever words you want to use, right in the very face of God. They'll tell you right quick, I don't want any part of your God. As you come to church on Sundays, you see all kinds of things going on besides worship of God, don't you? So you see people there doing about the same thing here that Moses did in that day. Hardened their heart right in God's face. What does God mean to you? Who is the Lord to you? What difference has he made in your life or my life? Will we harden our heart toward God like Pharaoh did? I would hope and pray we wouldn't, but some do. I know that we do. How do you see God today? Do you obey him? Do you worship him? Do you love him? Do you serve him? How's God revealed in your life and my life today? Let's go back to this passage. Let's attempt to answer the question that Pharaoh presented back to Moses and Aaron. And he said, who is the Lord? Who is this Jehovah God? Well, allow me to hopefully share a few things briefly about who our God is from this passage. First of all, our God is a God of purpose. Now, in chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3, without reading those again, God had a purpose for Israel. Now, you know they'd been in Egyptian bondage 400 years, and the cry came up from their hearts unto God, and God heard their cry. And of all the people in the world, God chose Israel as the apple of his eye. Of all the people in the world God could have chosen, he chose Israel to be his chosen people. And now they've been in bondage 400 years. They were crying under the severe hardship that they were living under as slaves. And the cry came up to God's face and God's ears. And God came down with a purpose to deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage. The first purpose God has for your life and mine is to deliver us from the bondage of sin. That's God's greatest purpose in our life, wouldn't you say? To obey him, to serve him, to worship him. He wanted to be sure that he was going to be the only God that Israel worshiped and that they would be his God exclusively. No other gods before me, he told Moses in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear any false witness or have any other gods before me. You'll worship God and God alone. That's his purpose. After 400 years of bondage, their cry comes up to God, and God comes down to deliver them. Now, why did he want to deliver them? Just to alleviate their suffering? No. God had a purpose for them. And the purpose for them included delivering them, of course. But the great purpose for Israel by God was this. They were to take the message of who God is and how men could be reconciled back to God through faith in him. They were to take that message through the whole then known world of that day. That was the purpose of God for delivering them, was to share the gospel, you might say, in the Old Testament, with the world. That's a purpose God has for the church today. That's a purpose God has for your life and mine. With whatever sphere of influence that we have, We are to take that influence, to take the gospel to that person or those persons. We may not can go across the waters. We may not can go thousands of miles, but we meet people every day who need the Lord. And so the purpose for God for us is that we would take the gospel today to the world's waiting. May not sound like it, but they are. The gospel to the whole world. And when he spoke through Aaron and Moses, no Pharaoh was going to stop God in the purpose that God had for his people. Now here's something wonderful for us today. God's purpose is still the same for us. He wants the church. He wants his people. He wants you. He wants me to share the gospel. Listen to me. There won't be a devil in hell. The devil himself and all his demons will not be able to stop the purpose that God has for his church. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see, the church is guaranteed victory because God promised it. So God has the same purpose for us. Now, no Pharaoh, no devil can stop God's purpose for Israel or for the church today. So that tells you something about the God we serve. He's a God of purpose, and he will do what he's promised he's going to do. But notice something from this same passage. Not only is our Lord a God of purpose, he's a God of power. If you go over there in chapter 7, look at verses 8 through 10. God knew that Pharaoh would demand some kind of a sign from Moses and Aaron to prove that maybe this God that they worship would be stronger or more powerful than the gods of Egypt. Give me some proof, men. Give me some proof that your God is any better than any God that we have in Egypt. Show me, prove to me. Well, Pharaoh wouldn't in simple faith just believe Moses and Aaron. He wouldn't just say, well, you know, God's called and God's commanded. Now I've got this yield and I'm going to obey God and I'm going to let the people go. No, no, no. He said, you prove who your God is. You prove the power of your God. Give me a sign so that I can trust in him. Well, God was willing and God was able and God was ready to give Pharaoh a sign of his great power. Since all power belongs to Jesus in heaven and in earth, no problem for him whatsoever to execute a sign of whatever sort he would choose to show Pharaoh. Well, what was the sign? The sign was that Aaron was to throw his rod, his walking staff, you might say. When you get before Pharaoh, God said, you throw down Aaron's rod and it will become a serpent. And that would be a sign unto Pharaoh that God was powerful. Well, they did take the rod and they did throw it down before Pharaoh. And by all means, you know that it turned into a serpent. What do you get out of that particular thinking? Listen, when Jesus hanged on the cross, he was as Moses talked about in the Old Testament, when he lifted up that brazen serpent, you remember, on that pole, and he said, those upon that pole, that serpent, look upon it, and you'll look and live. That was a type of the Lord Jesus coming down many, many years later, and being Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. If you want to see the sign of the power of God, all you have to do is look at the cross. And you see God hanging there on the cross, willingly dying for sinners such as us. And then look further from the cross at the resurrection day and look at the empty tomb. No other religion in this world has a literal, risen, living Savior who ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of God every single moment. So that's a good sign of the power of God on display. Jesus on the cross. Jesus raising from the dead. Jesus going back to heaven after spending some days here on the earth. God's power has already been shown. God's already given man a sign of the cross and the empty tomb that his power is more powerful than any and all other so-called gods. So clear it was to Pharaoh that God's power was real. But did Pharaoh respond? Sure he did. He rejected. He rejected God's power. He rejected God's purpose. He even rejected the person of God himself. He said, I will not let my people go. My slaves, my workers, if you will. Why should I fall down before him and worship this God? Because he's a God of power. He's a God of purpose. That's the reason we today should fall down before him and worship him and serve him and give our lives to him. That's reason enough, because we serve a God of purpose. And we serve a God who has all power in heaven and in earth. But that wasn't good enough for Pharaoh. So who is this Lord, this Jehovah God? Well, he's a God of purpose. They showed him that. He's a God of power. They showed Pharaoh that. But listen, he's also a God of provision. When old Aaron threw that rod down and it became a serpent, Pharaoh thought, nothing to that. Call in my magicians. Call in my wise men. Call in my soothsayers. Call in my wise men of Egypt. And they brought them all in. And they, in like manner, took their staffs. And they threw them down at Pharaoh's feet also. And what happened to their rods? They also turned into serpents. But alas, Aaron's rod swallowed up every single serpent that every single magician threw down before Pharaoh. So you see, God's a God of provision. Now the devil is always attempted with the false to portray what God has done in the real, hasn't he? But you see something, look at Old Testament truth even. There's never been a trick of the devil that God had already been three steps ahead, and he's ahead of them all the way. Throw down your rod. Oh, we'll throw our rods down. Well, his rod ate up all the others. What about that? How'd that work for the magicians? So God's a God of provision. Well, the tricks of the devil are many and varied, but I want us to understand there's not one from Genesis to Revelation that the devil tries to counterfeit what God's doing, that God's not going to come out victorious because God has made provision for it. No exceptions in Moses' day. No exceptions in our day. No excuses in Moses' day. No excuses today. Pharaoh had to know who this Lord is that they are saying that they worship. Pharaoh should have fallen down, and he should have given his heart and life to God and worshiped him and obeyed him and let God's people go. Yet he only rejected God and hated God. And the passage says, and I had folks that kind of seemed like it was confusing to them, where they said in the last of this passage, in verse 11, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Some folks say, well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No. Pharaoh already hardened his heart. God would just say he hardened his heart against my will for his life and my will for my people. Who's this God that I should obey him and let these people go? Moses' words were short and they were clear. God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh responded with, no, I will not let this people go. I will not render him obedience. I will not obey his command. I will not worship him. And I conclude with this. Who's the Lord to us today? Is he to us our God of purpose? Is he our God of power today? Is he our God of provision today? Are we rendering our worship to him, our obedience to him, and loving him, and giving our hearts and lives to him? Or are we acting like Pharaoh? I'm afraid I'm going to have to say the majority of our land, our peoples, the majority, except God's few are doing just exactly what Pharaoh did in that day. I pray to the Lord that we'll see our God as an awesome God, a powerful God, a purposeful God, and a providing God. Whatever it is that we need, God's already promised that He'd give it to us. So I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to try my best to obey Him and live for Him, because who is this Lord? He's my Lord. He has a purpose for my life. He's powerful in my life to get done whatever it is He wants done through me and through you and through our churches. He's a God of provision. Everything you and I will ever have need of has already been provided before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Do you believe God has chosen you before the foundation of this world was ever laid to be in Christ Jesus, to serve Him, live for Him, and obey Him? Pharaoh failed miserably. I don't want to be like Pharaoh, do you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You that You give us opportunity to respond to You, that we can see You as all-powerful and have purpose for us. We're not just aimlessly wandering through this life without purpose. You have a great purpose for us to carry the gospel. And You've redeemed us. You've bought us back. You've saved us to do that. And Lord, You provided the Holy Spirit of God to enable us to do what You called us to do. So Lord, help us not to reject You, but to render our lives unto You, to serve You, that others may come to know Jesus Christ, the God of all glory, as we know You today. We thank You for the privilege to be a part of the family of God, a part of the very family that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So Lord, help us to live and be true to our profession of faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight.
Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. That was Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more information about us on our website and get directions to come visit us at SharonBaptistConcord.com. We're located at 2628 Shady Lane Avenue in Concord. We would love to have you come visit us. Sunday school is at 9:45. Sunday service is at 10:45. Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m. And Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. You can find out directions, download or listen to more, or even watch more sermons and audio on our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. We're so excited. Our annual Vacation Bible School program kicks off this Wednesday, July 31st, and is going to run through August the 3rd from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Transportation is available. Call us to make arrangements. Everyone is welcome, all ages. We're going to start at 6:30 this Wednesday, run Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week from 6:30 to 8:30. We're going to have so much fun.
It's Giddy Up Junction.
Excited. It's time for Vacation Bible School. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to learn so much about God and about how much He loves each and every one of us. I hope you guys can be there. We're going to have a hayride. We're going to have bounce houses. We're going to have cowboy hot dogs. We're going to have all sorts of fun stuff like that. Man, come on, come on, come on. And bring all your friends.
Vacation Bible School is at Sharon Baptist Church Wednesday, July 31st through Saturday, August the 3rd from 6:30 to 8:30. Transportation is available. Call us if you need a ride. Find out more at SharonBaptistConcord.com.
VBS!